So a trend analysis, which technically is a kind of analytic comparison, because the hypothesis that you're testing and the representation of the analysis is captured in those same sort of weights, feels very different because we are shifting a great deal. We're shifting from the statement that most research hypotheses can be tested with pairwise comparisons to asking questions and testing hypotheses about the shape of the IV-DV relationship. This is something that ANOVA started doing back in the 40s because this sort of hypothesizing was common in regression, wanting to know if the relationship between things were linear or whether it had a curve in it or a couple of curves. And the ANOVA model recognized that it could play these same games. It's all the same model. The important part is that the independent variable has to be quantitative. The difference between the IV conditions has to be quantitative. And it has to be really quantitative, not just sort of lined up from stuff I like least to stuff I like most. Because when we say it's quantitative, we don't just mean that it's ordinated, we mean that we have a measure of the difference between the conditions, like one practice, two practice, three practice, four practice, or zero practices, 10, 20, 30. Or 1 week of attendance, 4 weeks of attendance, 7 weeks of attendance. In fact, most statistical packages assume that your IV conditions are equally spaced, not only quantitative, but equally spaced. And SPSS is one of those. If you decide that you want to have a quantitative variable, or that you have a quantitative variable, and you want to do trend analyses, but they're not equally spaced, you come see me and I'll show you other ways of doing it. It can be done. But typically the ANOVA packages assume that if you tell it, I want you to run me a trend analysis, those data are an interval measure, quantitative, independent variable. If they're not, there's ways around it. When we talk about shape in the behavioral sciences, three shapes are about all we look at. You can have as much complexity in your shape as you have complexity in your design. It's a pretty simple idea, and most of us got this much out of geometry before it started to get really hard. I never didn't really like geometry. If you have just two categories, you can only have one line connecting them, and that line is either positive or negative, or of course flat. We never show the null. If you have three conditions, you have 2 degrees of freedom, which means you can have 2 different slopes among those three conditions. And so if you have 3 groups, you can have what's called a quadratic trend. And the quadratic trend has 1 inflection point in it, 1 hump. Now for linear, we know about positive and negative because we've had correlation several times now at different times. So we know about positive and negative. But there is language for the quadratic that's used a great deal. And those are really clever names, U-shaped and inverted U-shaped. Oh, we're hot now. When we get to cubic trends, which has at least 4 conditions, with 4 conditions, you can have 3 slopes, and that means 2 inflection points. There's a less agreed upon language for this. But the one that you're likely to see is this is referred to as initially decreasing cubic. That's initially increasing cubic. Because if I tell you this, I've told you all you need to know. You know there's going to be 3 of them, and you know they're going to alternate. So if this is down, this is up, this is down. If this is up, this is down, this is up. So we have these 3 different commonly used trend analyses. And cubic will normally get us all that we need because there are very few research hypotheses in the behavioral sciences that are more complicated than 2 humps. And we'll show you some examples. Not only do you need to distinguish between the 2 different types of each non-null trend, the most common thing is to run into combinations, which means that hypothesis testing always seems to have 1 more step than the hypothesis statement. I'll tell you what I mean. So we have two importantly different kinds of linear plus quadratic. I've drawn these both as positively linear. This is positively linear plus U-shaped. Now, whenever you're looking at something, the rule in math is you always tilt your head to the left. Okay? Rotation is always counterclockwise. And so if you tilt your head to the left, this is a U-shape. You tilt your head to the left, this is an inverted U-shape. This is what's known as an accelerating returns curve. This is the one that all teachers are hoping for. And parents and lots of people who do different forms of teaching. You gut out that initially slow increase with the initial practices till you hit that magic point and they take off. That's what we're hoping for. The diminishing returns curve is what we're stuck with most of the time. That initial improvements are rapid and then things sort of level out. Some bold data analysts claim that these are just incomplete versions of this. That if you really start at zero and you follow it long enough, you will see both characteristics in the relationship, the shape of the relationship between the IV and the DV. That you have this initial slow, then rapid, then it gets up around an asymptote or a ceiling and levels off. This is so common that it's actually referred to as the learning curve, and it's a combination of linear and cubic. Positive linear because the right end's higher than the left end on average, and cubic because it's got two humps. If I told you that I wanted to test this research hypothesis of a positive linear plus U-shaped quadratic, obviously you would ask the statistical model to run the linear and run the quadratic. But you also want to ask it to do the cubic. This is that part I was talking about, where there's one more step to running the test of the hypothesis than stating the hypothesis. Because when I say I expect a linear plus U-shaped quadratic, what I really mean is I expect a positive linear, a U-shaped quadratic, and no cubic. You with me? If I say I expect the cubic trend, somebody says that, I'd suggest asking. Because do you mean that you want just a cubic trend? That you want just with no linear trend? Or do you mean that you've got God only knows what, but it has at least two humps in it? Okay? Because, for example, you could have a data set that looks like this. This extension here is going to be seen as a quadratic component. Here's your linear. Here's your cubic. And this is likely to give you a significant quadratic trend too. And so whatever elements get stated as the expected research hypothesis, you should routinely expect to run the linear and the cubic and the quadratic and the cubic and see what parts you do and don't get. All right? The reason I bring that up is that gets missed with some frequency, and this, now they've completely hidden this thing, those two are both cubic. Calling that one cubic is a fine idea. Referring to this as just cubic is missing an awful lot of the story. So you want to make sure that you are eliciting the full hypothesis from somebody and that you're testing the full hypothesis. A good statement of trend analysis should say whether you expect a positive, null, or negative linear, whether you expect a U-shaped, null, or inverted U-shaped quadratic, and whether you expected an initially decreasing, null, or initially increasing quadratic. As you might imagine, people aren't really good about giving you all of those pieces. And so you're likely to have to take that apart. Yes?
So hey. If you only have three IV conditions,
yes,
then wouldn't it not be possible to have quadratic?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is assuming you have enough for a to look for a cubic.
So if you don't have enough for a cubic, then don't run that because that's really wasted.
It probably won't even run it for you, and it might give you an error term that doesn't tell you why it's unhappy.
Okay.
That's the real problem. It's when it gives you an error term and you don't know what the hell you've done.
Gotcha.
Yes, I was assuming enough data points to play.
Gotcha.
Great question. Thank you.